What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 136 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined today by a very special guest. He is the leader of the raid on Area 51 that's coming up in about roughly 2 months' time, and a hater of Taco Bell. It's, of course, Joey. What's up, buddy?
I will not be anywhere near that raid, just for the record. That's craziness to me, especially with all the government warnings going out. How on earth do all these people think raiding a government facility is going to end well for them?
Well, see, if you're following us on Twitter, which, by the way, if you're not, you're missing out on some great quality content. The Air Force operates Area 51, if you will. They've already announced that they're going to be putting up, like, obstacles in the desert leading up to where that airbase is located. So I was talking with some people on Twitter today, thinking that we should get Dwayne The Rock Johnson to, like, host this. Joey, you and I should shoutcast this event and live stream these morons trying to raid a government facility to prove aliens exist. It's absolutely absurd, but would make for outstanding primetime television.
It's going to end really badly, I have a feeling.
Oh, it's going to be absolutely great. Nation, I said it once and I'll say it again. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, again, you can follow along with these spicy Area 51 conversations by following Joey and myself on Twitter. That's Joey at Courtside King and myself at Fiasco. If you're joining us here live on Twitch, those are those amazing handles right below our mugshots. If you're listening on the podcast later on down the road, they will be in the show notes for you below. Nation, this week's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, as it feels like we just recorded like 4 days ago, Joey. I feel like it was 4 days ago, right? Is my math correct? Am I mathing correct today?
Maybe five. Maybe four or five, yeah.
Four or five. We'll get there sooner or later. Nonetheless, esports never stops. Stage three of the Overwatch League is finally complete. Complete. English is very different. Math and English today, Joey. The stage three finals were even crazier, as we saw a true underdog really just recreate itself and take home their first stage championship in all seven games. It took a seven-game series to crown a champion. It was absolutely fantastic if you didn't get to watch it. Overwatch League just happens to be one topic on this week's episode, though. Joey, what else are we heading on this week on episode 136?
We have a decent little chunk of roster moves in CSGO that could lead to quite a few shakeups, as well as for the Overwatch League. Then from there, we have a few new partnerships coming up. Caffeine making some more noise in esports. And last but not least, we're going to move into a recap of some big events last week, like the Gears of War 5 Summer Invitational.
If you're watching on Twitch, I just went off screen real quick because I realized the drink of choice was coming up, and I left my drink of choice on the table over yonder. So, Joey, we have our topics. I feel like this is going to be an episode where I'm going to need at least three of these, but it is time for the drink of choice for the 136th time, sir. What is your beverage that will be aiding and powering you through this episode?
I'm going with a Stella Artois tonight.
Mm. This is so fresh out of the fridge. It's not even open yet, so I'm going to open it right here live on. Oh, boy. Can I open that up? Hold up. That is not a twist top. That makes it even worse. Joey, I am really upset at the moment. This whole episode is going downhill real quick. I'm going to see if I can do this without ripping my shorts here. Nope, still can't twist it. Well, one day I will enjoy this delicious Cloud, which is a South Korean beer. It's delicious. Who knows if I'll be able to taste it this episode? Probably not, because I do not have a bottle opener anywhere near my computer. Joey, I'm sad. I don't have beer. It's sitting right here. It's nice, frosty, and cold, and I can't drink it. I'm upset, but I hear we have topics to dive into. So let's waste no more time with my bickering about my beer. Let's jump right into gaming and esports news. Let's go!
Speaking of upset, let's talk MIBR, because they are going to lose Coldzera, one of the best players out there in CSGO, at least in recent years. He's fallen off a bit. The whole team at MIBR has really fallen off a bit since their whole Luminosity to SK Gaming to MIBR moves around. But they still have a very talented roster, John, one of the most talented rosters out there in the CSGO scene. Now with Coldzera breaking off, that could mean we have more players even breaking off from that star-studded roster. That could mean we see another player go in and start to reform them a bit. it kind of leaves a lot to be desired. And we're really not 100% sure what that's going to end up like. But with Cold Zera moving, do you see this as possibly a new contender coming up against Liquid, whether it be MIBR and their new revamp roster, or whether it be the roster that Cold Zera goes to?
First off, Team Liquid is a freaking juggernaut of an organization right now. They're absolutely crushing it in multiple titles. CSGO is just one of them. MIBR is really struggling, and they sold off a lot of amazing players themselves. I really don't see this helping MIBR in the long run. Wherever Cold goes to could really help out another team, but I don't see anyone really touching Liquid anytime soon with just that juggernaut roster that they have.
Yeah, I'm really curious. I'm more curious where Cold Zera is going to end up more than anything. There's a few contenders out there. He is a shot caller as well. So you could argue some of that might be the problem that MIBR had. Maybe his shot calling is a little outdated. Maybe it's just some of the teammates had lost faith in him. I could see him going to something like a FaZe Clan and doing really well. Astralis just kind of fell off, but I think they really don't need a shot caller. Fnatic is another veteran org that could possibly use one. They have Exist over there right now, but Exist, again, he's one of those shot callers that's kind of fallen off a little bit. He hasn't really been able to perform at the highest level in recent tournaments. So I think Fnatic or FaZe are two possible options as far as where Cold Zera goes. And on top of that, I think I could see MIBR breaking up even a bit more. It could be like Fnatic in recent years where they end up falling apart just slowly. It's not every player at once, but they end up dropping two here, three there. I could see that happening as well with them trying to reinvigorate the scene. Right now, Team Liquid looks untested. They don't look like anyone can really take them down in the CSGO scene. I think there needs to be some shakeups. I think this is the beginning of quite a few shakeups in the offseason. Overwatch League, we have the Washington Justice not looking so great so far. They're toward the bottom of the standings for Stage 3, but they are making some noise headed into Stage 4 and later on into Season 3 down the line. We have Elivote and Lulshish coming in from Team Envy, a really strong duo from the contender scene, in my opinion, John. They both play a lot of tanks. I believe Elivote does play some flex here and there, but they're both really well known for their tanking on EU's contender scene with the Angry Titans. They really made a name for themselves as a Swedish duo. They both speak the same language, which is huge for two frontliners. On top of that, they bring a lot of needed, I would really say, flexibility as well as like almost like a rock foundation to a Justice team as well. This Justice team still trying to find its identity between the GOATS meta coming in and really knocking a few teams around based on how they drafted. And on top of that, who they signed. Now you're bringing these other two players in, really strong tanks potentially in the contender scene, but will it translate to the Overwatch League for this team?
There's a really good chance. Their track record in contenders, I would argue a lot of people in the Overwatch scene see these two players and go, hey, wait, we're in Season 3 and they're still not in the Overwatch League. A lot of people were really kind of surprised that both of these players were still in the contender scene. Joe, like you said, they played together on Angry Titans. They played together on Team Envy. They just recently joined Team Envy, not even like 4 or 5 months ago. Just really quick roster moves here. And a really cool story, both of these players have known each other since childhood. They actually played soccer back in their youth as small kids together. So like they have that chemistry. They have that connection that you really want. And has that paid off in esports? Has that paid off in Overwatch? It has. They have torn it up in the contender scene, and now they have the opportunity to do it on the big stage in Los Angeles at Blizzard Arena for the Washington Justice. These two signings are absolutely massive. Absolutely massive. Expect the Justice to really shake things up with these two players coming in here. I feel like they have the opportunity to really wreak some havoc in the Overwatch League going into Stage 4.
Not only that, but this is a great time to make moves for the Justice too. You're toward the end of the season. I don't even think it's possible to make playoffs anymore at this point. It might slightly be possible to make end of season playoffs, but pretty much everything has to fall your way. Why not start making these changes now? Bring in these new players. Get them acquainted with the current roster. Get them acquainted with the coaching staff. Regardless, if you make changes in the offseason, at least you start building some chemistry now. This is a huge, huge move, and I highly recommend moves like this for any bottom-of-the-table teams. If you're not doing well, this is the time to make roster moves. Stage 4 is coming up. Start building that chemistry. Start getting stuff together. Start seeing what you want to do moving into next season. I think this is a really good move, and you're bringing in two of the best players in any contender scene, EU, NA, and a main tank is so big in this current meta to bring someone in, whether you pair him with Janus, whether you pair these two together in particular, Lulshish and Elivote. There's just so much potential that you can move on, as well as the rotations in Overwatch League. you don't necessarily have to have a starting six in Overwatch League. You can rotate depending on the map. You can rotate depending on what characters will play well at certain maps or against certain teams. There's so much flexibility in this league that you don't have in a League of Legends necessarily, in a CSGO. So I really like what we're seeing here. I think this is going to be a huge move for the Justice. I do think it actually doubles their wins for the amount in a stage. So we'll see what happens. I think they're going to double that one win from stage one and two.
And the cool thing is when they both play tank, they play main tank and off tank, both of them together. You have Lulzsh. I'm going to slaughter that name. I'm going to practice that for a while. Reinhardt, Winston, and Orisa. Orisa really coming online as of lately, a really strong shield tank. But then you also have Elivote, who plays Zarya finally for the Justice. Zarya, do not put Corey on Zarya anymore. He is a master at Widow. He enjoys clicking heads. Can't really click heads on Zarya. But now you have, you know, Elivote coming in here, a Zarya main, also plays D.Va, and he can flex to Soldier 76. You can never have enough players play Soldier 76. Granted, he's like straight up Call of Duty mode here, but he's a solid DPS player, solid hit scan for Overwatch. And I feel like this flex role for Elivote is going to be huge for the Justice going forward. The fact that he's going to play that critical off tank, that Zarya that the Justice so desperately need in a lot of these team comps so far, team that up with Lulzsh, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. I love these two signings going forward. So much potential here. And like you said, Joey, if you team it up with Yanis or even Ark, both players very well done, very strong tanks, I think that alone is going to help change the Justice overnight. Almost overnight. You still have to get some chemistry in there.
Right, but it's still a huge move. And I think one of the other big factors in it is the fact that the Justice roster really was lacking tanks. You look at major analysts on the Overwatch League desk, they will tell you tanks is the issue. Because really, it was just Janus running a main tank. There were not really any other tanks. Like you said, Corey switched to Zarya a few times. We had some D.Va play here and there. But overall, there really wasn't a secondary tank. And a lot of the teams just rolled over us because of the squishiness of the composition. This is really going to answer that question. Again, I don't know if it's the end or be all. I don't know if this makes them champions for season three, but at the same point, I think it does move them in the right directions and it should build some more team chemistry with a bit of a tankier edge now.
And just real quick, it's not Arc support. I meant Sansam. My bad. I caught myself on that one. It's like, wait a minute. He's a support player. As a support player myself, I like to wish we were as important as a tank player. It's wishful thinking.
Everyone plays their role. And if everyone plays it right, you can end up looking like the Shanghai Dragons. Spoiler for later.
Oh,
Secret Lab moving to partnerships. They will be sponsoring two competing Warcraft Race to World first broadcasts. John, these always excite me. I never have time to watch them because they always seem to happen when I'm at work. But this is really exciting. So World first, we have the new raid coming up. They're providing chairs for the Limit Guild and Pieces Guild at the Red Bull Esports Gaming Sphere, as well as Method at the Take TV Gaming Bar. So Secret Lab said, hey, we're just going to sponsor most of the big guilds running this particular thing. So why not just choose one when you can choose both? So Secret Lab is going to be providing chairs out. They're going to be sponsoring both these. I think this is really exciting. I feel like this is one of the times WoW gets the most viewers. Their esports arena has not really pulled in a ton of viewers recently. Mythic Dungeons has done all right. But now your world first, this is always one of the big tune-ins for everyone. Even if you don't play WoW, I feel like people tune into this because it'll be top of the Twitch channel, top of the Mixer channel, whatever platform you're watching on. I'm super excited for this. And honestly, I'm tempted to resub my WoW subscription, but it's just not going to happen.
Oh, so tempted. I'm right there with you. This recent expansion for WoW is really exciting. And it's always fun watching those top guilds in the world race to be the world's first at essentially beating the end game, like as the raids come out for that expansion. You know, if you're a lore junkie like myself, you get so much of the story coming through these raids. You get to, you know, who knows? Like maybe you're not mechanically skilled enough or you're in a guild that's skilled enough to get that far, to beat something on an epic level. You know, maybe it's going to take, you know, your guild 2, 3, 4 years before you get there, or 50, 60, 70 tries, which is completely okay. But for these upper echelon guilds, you know, that top 0.1% in the world, it's massive. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And people love watching. And these guilds also give back to other guilds. They make these videos. They put them out there so other guilds can see strategy, you know, try different things, you know, do this method, try this, way of attacking this boss, you know, or look out for X, Y, and Z that happens with this boss kind of thing. They give back to the community. So it's not like it's just a race for glory and fame, but it's they also give back to the community, which I think is pretty big also. But it's really cool seeing that this raid race is finally getting the publicity that it deserves. And Joey, you hit the nail around the head. Battlegrounds for World of Warcraft, the viewership isn't there. You know, the esports for World of Warcraft have really struggled. But when it comes to new content, when it comes to expansions, that's where the bread and butter is. That's when nothing else touches World of Warcraft. It is still an insanely popular game. That's where World of Warcraft can really make their name in an esports scene, if you will, with that race, if you can kind of shove it that way. Race for worlds first when it comes to these new raids. I think it's exciting. I'm going to be tuning in. Joey, Twitch is not blocked at my work, so I have two monitors. I may just slide one over onto the side monitor and watch if it's during the day.
I love the theme of this raid too. I love underwater stuff, and this one in particular sounds like it's going to dive really underwater. I've tried not to look at too much, mainly because I don't want to be sucked back in. But overall, I just love the underwater aspect with these raids. I think Anthem added one recently as well. WoW, obviously one of the oldest and best MMORPGs out there, adding an underwater raid here. They might even have more. I only started playing WoW, last year?
Yeah, you were fairly new to it.
I did not play very much.
It was at the end of Legion that you hopped on.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I'm very curious to see how it all ends up being played out, but I think this is going to be a great raid. I think it'll be a great world first. And hey, if you're watching one of the streams, Secret Lab will be sponsoring it.
Here you go.
So regardless of which one you choose, they will be on it. Fnatic making another exciting partnership. They are partnering up with OnePlus UK, who pretty much they partner up with everywhere else. They do their jersey sponsor. They do a bunch of content with them as well. But they're partnering up with them and 3UK for an exclusive event at 3's London Oxford S Street. And this one in particular will take place on Saturday, July 20th, where 15 winners will be able to challenge one of their FIFA players, Damey, to a 1v1 in an exclusive Q&A session. I'm super excited for this, Sean. I think it's another great move by Fnatic. We see Fnatic, we see Cloud9. There's a few other orgs out there that really make these proactive moves. The Washington Justice here at hometown have made a lot of great moves like this for fan meet and greets. This is a good one, though. You're playing. If you win, you get the 1v1 plus an exclusive Q&A session. Again, it's just Fnatic doing Fnatic things. Another great way to engage with players and get fans engaging. Twitter's a great place. So is any type of social media platform. Players are pretty good on Instagram, too. But now you're bringing up more live content, live in-person content at that, so you can meet the players. You can get to know the players, get to know the staff more. And this is why Fnatic has such a big player base. They continue to do stuff like this. Another great creative move on their part. And the LCS teams have also partnered up with Caffeine, an official streaming partner. So this is a big move, John. Caffeine, I think we first saw them come around really with Misfits was the first big partnership. I think it was just their League of Legends team. It might have been their whole organization up front. Now, at this point, the whole organization and all their streamers go through Caffeine. This is Caffeine making a huge move. You're moving from not only organizations, not only partner streamers, but you are moving to a league itself. It's not exclusivity rights because League already has the deal with Twitch where a lot of their stuff goes through Twitch and through ESPN. So they can't really offer exclusivity. At the same point, this means more content and a lot more accessibility for people who might not necessarily be on Twitch or might have other ways to get to platform content. So if you're on Caffeine, you're watching on Caffeine, now you might have a chance to tune into LCS just because it pops up and, hey, this is hot right now type of thing. I think one of the biggest moves, John, for this is the fact that it's going to be allowing co-streaming as well. So you and I as aspiring shoutcasters, we could just say, hey, we're going to overlay our voices onto this stream and cast it. They are completely fine with that on Caffeine. I don't know if that's 100% allowed in the Twitch agreement, to be honest, but they are making a very big deal about it on Caffeine. That is kind of what they're leading this move with. The fact that up-and-coming shoutcasters as well as players can do an analysis on certain games, can shoutcast certain games, can say, hey, I would have played this out differently. So it's supposed to be an instructional part for not only fans, but for the league to really bring feedback in and for teams to potentially recruit as well.
Yeah, I love the fact that they're allowing fans to kind of do that shoutcast. You know, a lot of people play armchair quarterback, to borrow a phrase from traditional sports, sit back and watch this and go, oh, these shoutcasters make mistakes left and right. How hard is it, you know, breaking down a game when you're not even the one playing? You're just watching. You just have to say what's going on. But in LCS, when you have 10 players all doing something completely different, granted they may be doing a team fight, You have to be able to identify so much and call all the important stuff out without knowing what's going to happen next. A lot of people sit back and go, oh, look, they made a mistake. Ha, 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 they're losers. They don't know what they're doing. Now you have a chance to try it yourself. Hop on caffeine. Try shotcasting yourself. Maybe you're good. Maybe you're bad. Maybe you're like Joey and myself, and you want to get better at a certain craft to take your skill and your talent to the next level. Try it on a caffeine. That's so cool that they're gonna that's gonna be allowed on caffeine. I'm gonna check LCS out on caffeine now. You know, I generally watch on Twitch, but this is unique and this is massive for caffeine, who is really looking for a way to challenge Twitch, for a way to challenge YouTube. You know, two of the arguably the number one and a distant number two in esports streaming. Caffeine is now really starting to make ground here. This is a major sign, and if this does pay off, I wouldn't be surprised to see more leagues sign on to caffeine. I would like to see this as an exclusive deal. Co-exclusive is okay, but I would like to see this actually be an exclusive deal to really put caffeine in the mix for that second seed with YouTube Gaming. That's going to be their first hurdle before they can take on a Twitch.
They're not going to get an exclusive deal like this. It's just not going to happen. The league has just been around too long. CSGO, you could potentially pull in a tournament like we've seen. I think YouTube got a tournament before. Twitch has pulled in some tournaments. But other than that, it's going to be really hard. If anyone, Fortnite might be one that they could potentially pull in. I don't think it signed any exclusivity deals except for Twitch Rivals content. Gears of War, stuff like that, like these smaller tier stuff. Rocket League, I don't know if they've signed one yet. They might be with Twitch, not 100% sure. But I think it's the smaller tier esports that you need to kind of work your way up with. You're not going to jump on one of the most popular ones right from the gate. I think Caffeine's making good moves here with this deal, but they're not going to get an exclusive out of this. With that being said, I am more interested in Caffeine now. And I did find an aspiring shoutcaster originally. So Captain Flowers, I was one of his first like 100 followers. He actually used to cast Fnatic Academy games. That's where I first learned about him. He was doing them on, I think it was YouTube at the time. So I started watching all his Academy stuff. I started hitting up Rioters. I started sending it to different organizations like, hey, check this guy out. Da, da, da. I don't know if I played any part in it overall, but overall, it was really cool to watch him grow from just an amateur shoutcaster, shoutcasting everything by himself, which was insane at the time, and he sounded crazy. But then he moved his way up, and now he does a hell of a job as a play-by-play, as well as some color here and there. So really excited to watch him grow, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot more amateur shoutcasters come out of this as well. Other news, we have Amazon Game Studios working on a Lord of the Rings MMORPG with a team made of EverQuest, Destiny, and WoW veterans. John, if you're talking about a legendary team to put together an MMORPG, I think that is quite the number right there with EverQuest and WoW both involved. Destiny, you can argue they had some highs and some lows, but depending who they pulled, they could have got a good deal there. I think this is really exciting. I think there is a Lord of the Rings MMORPG already out there. I want to say it was like early 2000s, like maybe 2005, 2007, somewhere in that range it came out. I've always been interested in that. I just never have the time to really sink into an MMO. WoW was the only one I really did, and it was for a couple months. And it's just so vast. There's so much to learn. I guess with Lord of the Rings, you come in with some prior knowledge from reading the books in school, from analyzing here and there. But overall, I think the world of Lord of the Rings is very cool and very fascinating. Again, I probably won't have time to play this, but as someone who would love to live vicariously through people, I really like the idea of this game.
You are a streamer's dream audience right there, Joey. Someone who wants to live through someone else. No, this is great. EverQuest and WoW, like that, those are two really good games to pull people from. The Destiny one, I'm not as excited about. Destiny and Destiny 2, I still have a lot of issues with. The game, while it looks amazing, the gameplay is a lot of fun. The story, the raids, I mean, there's so much lacking there. That's really the one I'm curious as to see who came from the Destiny team, what role they're playing. But in reality, I would want the WoW veterans running this show. WoW really pretty much standing the test of time in the gaming world. It's been out for like 14 years now. It is a massive freaking game that's still kicking butt to this day. Joey, we led the show with World of Warcraft news. You know, it's getting a sponsorship deal from Secret Labs. We're talking about world first raiding being like a major world event now that's going to be streamed and everything. Like, that's massive. That's huge. That's the kind of potential I want to see brought to an MMORPG that's centered around Lord of the Rings. And Joey, you mentioned that the world of Lord of the Rings is so amazing. It's fascinating. You can draw so much from it. It's like it tells a story that a lot of people can like put themselves in that story and kind of like see themselves as a character or see themselves in a similar situation in their own life. I feel like that's one of the things that makes Lord of the Rings so connectable with just with almost anybody. You know, a lot of people, like you said, Joey, read it in school. You know, they study it. They study, you know, Tolkien's writings and his methodology behind everything. So there's a lot of cool things here with Lord of the Rings, and now it's coming as an MMORPG. That sounds exciting. I'm excited to see how this develops in the future and when it comes out. I'll probably be diving in, but Joey, I'm just like you. I don't have a whole lot of time for MMOs anymore nowadays.
I think I'm just so fascinated with the fact that Tolkien wrote his own languages for this book. Not only did he write this huge trilogy in The Hobbit before that of these books, but on top of that, he wrote all of the languages built in, the elven language, all of these different races, the dwarven language. It's just crazy to me. Chat out there, we have quite a few in chat tonight. What race and class would you guys play if there's this Lord of the Rings MMORPG? I'm just curious. I think I would lean toward an elf, John. What about yourself?
Oh, hands down an elf. Are you kidding me?
what kind of elf?
Well,
aren't there like wood elves and high elves? I don't remember what all is in Lord of the Rings.
Probably
anymore.
A high elf. I'm sorry. The most recent elf I played was a void elf in World of Warcraft. So I can't really, I need a brush up on my Lord of the Rings, but definitely a high elf. No, just elves in general is so cool. They have pointy ears. Who doesn't like pointy ears? And they glow and they have magic. I mean, come on. Come on, Joey. There's no question. Look at that. Chat, either human or an elf. Org. That way I could avoid the sun like I do in real life. Wow, Tots. Great job. Chat is being spicy tonight. Awesome. I like it. That's outstanding. Yikes.
The other thing, and supposedly they're not linked, Amazon also announced that they are doing a Lord of the Rings TV series, supposedly completely separate from the game, but knowing Amazon, I wouldn't be surprised if they kiss each other here and there. As far as timeline goes or as far as content releases go, I would not be surprised. Amazon always feels like they're thinking three or four steps ahead, so I would not be surprised to see some cool crossover here and there. But overall, John, I'm excited for this game. I'm excited to see how it ends up. Again, probably don't have the time for it, probably don't have the money to just put toward another monthly fee, but at the same point, I'm really excited to watch some streams of this at the very least. The team behind Gears of War 5 has announced Gears of War Esports, presented by PGL Esports for Gears of War. I think this is another really good move. I feel like I've said that a lot tonight. But Gears of War, this is one esport that we've talked about quite a bit. Can Gears of War make it? It has so much gore involved, or it has in previous titles. It looks like they have cut down on the gore a bit for Gears of War 5. At the same point, you're still able to chainsaw people in half. You still got these crazy hammers that can crush people's heads. So I think the gore is still going to be a major factor for making this a major esport. I think that's going to hold it back. At the same point, the way escalation mode looks in Gears 5 looks really good. There's a lot more strategic points to it. So it's round by round. Whoever gets the capture points for a certain amount of time wins. Think like Call of Duty Domination meets certain, let's say, strategic weapon spawns. So before each round, the winning team gets to place weapons in certain places. They can change out weapons. So you can place a smoke grenade at this middle point, or you can change it out for a sniper rifle. And it kind of changes up how the battlefield is played and how your team really wants to play out certain rounds. And those items that you're able to drop change as the rounds go as well. So there's a lot more strategy to it. It feels a little bit more like it mixes kind of like the, let's say, the Counter-Strike logic into it, where you buy before maps and they decide how they want to buy depending on how the previous round went, what their economy looks like. So certain stuff like that, not as much econ, but a lot about the strategical elements of where the map points are located, how they want to bring up their attack phase for that round. So I'm excited for it. I think the domination mode works really well in esports, and the fact that they're adding these other strategic elements to it, I think can help Gears of War rise up. On top of that, they have a nice clean new logo. It's going to be 60 frame per sec or 60 hertz servers, I believe. So it's going to be a lot cleaner than the 30 hertz they had before as far as getting shot around corners and different things like that. So it is looking like the cleanest addition, both gore-wise and server-wise, of Gears of War yet. I think it's going to move it up the esports stage. Again, I don't think it becomes a major tier because of the gore, though.
Yeah, so this is actually kind of funny. So you mentioned the gore aspect. So driving home from work today, there's actually a local radio show host on the local sports talk channel here in the Washington, D.C. area was talking about Gears of War and about how they're making a big deal over removing smoking and tobacco products from the game. And he goes, "You're removing tobacco from the game in a game that you chainsaw people in half, because you don't want to send the wrong message." And I feel like that goes a long way when you talk about Gears of War in general, because, you know, chat points this out, and we mentioned in other episodes, you can turn the blood and the gore off in these video games. You can do that, but you still chainsaw someone in half. So if you're going to try to send the message that blood and gore and violence is bad, that, you know, it's a video game, you're trying to balance it out, you're still chainsawing somebody in half. You don't need blood and gore, you know, gushing from a corpse to understand what just happened. Same thing with the argument with smoking. Like, you know, you remove smoking from a game because you want to send a message. Okay, that's great. That's fine. But don't sit here and act like your game is sending a social message to society because you're removing tobacco products from your game that you chainsaw somebody in half. So there are a lot of hurdles that Gears of War are going to have to come over to really make it as a true, you know, tier one esport title. I feel like it's going to be a good, solid mid-tier esport title. I feel like there's a lot of hype in the Gears of War community, and I feel like there's enough that it can really draw some great viewership. But there's going to be a lot of questions going forward, you know, with, you know, where do we draw the line when it comes to violence, when it comes to gore, when it comes to even tobacco products. We're seeing leagues now have alcohol sponsors. You know, Bud Light is a major sponsor of the NBA 2K League. They sponsor a lot of content. You can make the argument, you know, well, hey, why is an alcoholic beverage sponsoring a video game that kids under 21 play? So there's a lot of things that as a community and as a society that we need to figure out. Where are we going to draw the line when it comes to esport titles? Are we going to draw it at blood and gore? Are we going to draw it at tobacco products? Are we going to draw it at, you know, alcoholic beverages? Are we, you know, drawing the line at chainsawing somebody in half? There's a lot of things that we need to think of as a community and figure out like some kind of standard, which is going to be hard to do because these games constantly evolve and push limits. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, but I'm excited for Gears of War 5. I feel like this could be a solid esport title going forward.
And John, there's never going to be a limit. And I think that's just the big thing. The fact that there's always going to be an audience, no matter what direction you go. I mean, you can go the complete sexual direction. You can go the violent direction. You can go the alcoholism, the tobacco. No matter which direction you go, there's going to be some kind of audience. I mean, heck, GTA has all of those things, and look at the crazy audience it pulls in. It's not an esport title necessarily, but as a game, if there's players, you can potentially pull at least a few of them over to an esports scene. So I think the big take for a lot of these games that are either violent or involve these other materials is going to come down to the high school level. And the fact that we see esports now going down to middle school and high school levels to kind of bring up the scene in almost like an academy system. Games like Gears of War are not going to fit in there. High schools are not going to sponsor games where you're chainsawing people in half or where your shotgun blows them to bits. It's just not going to happen. I mean, they're having issues just trying to put League of Legends in some schools because there are certain violence aspects to it. Gun games are not really allowed in most high school environments either. So I think that's the big key for me is the violence at the high school level, the middle school level. If you can't really establish your games there, you're going to lose so many kids to your potential esports scene because they're going with these other games that are accepted at the high school level. Again, this is such a big part of Gears of War's identity. I think you can't really get rid of it in a sense, but your esports scene is never going to make it to the biggest level because of the violence involved and the gore in particular.
Agreed, 100%.
Let's talk Gears of War still, but this time for the tournament itself. Tox Gaming is named the first ever Gears 5 esports champions, taking home the largest share of the $200,000 prize pool. Not too shabby there. From the E-League Summer Invitational, Tox Gaming's roster consists of Solars, Explosive, Mental, Summons, Praised, and Coach Thy Ashes. John, did you get to catch any of this? I believe it was Saturday and Sunday this past weekend.
I did not get a chance to catch it, but I will say this is how in the world does Farming Simulator have a bigger prize pool than Gears of War Esports does? I'm going to bring it up again. Farming Simulator had a larger prize pool in Europe alone than Gears of War does for their prize pool here. That just blows my mind.
So an interesting part, and I don't know how long this took place. I just looked at it. I probably tuned in like 5 or 6 different intervals throughout the weekend. At least 3 or 4 of the times that I tuned in, it was actually beating live Overwatch League coverage for numbers.
Oh, wow.
I think part of that is the fact that they were giving away a skin for the weekend. If you watch 60 minutes of gameplay, I think that really factors into it. At the same point, competing with Overwatch League out of the gates is big. It did not happen on Finals Day. Finals Day, that particular matchup for the Overwatch League completely crushed it. But during the semifinal matchups, a number of times, it actually had more viewers on Twitch at least So I'm curious to see how this grows, if people are just excited for the skin, if they just wanted to see the new versus gameplay in Gears of War, get a sneak peek at the new maps. I think that does factor into the esports scene in particular and why we saw an increase of viewers. At the same point, I think the new logo, the fresh new look, the updated escalation mode are going to really help this scene grow. I'm going to put it somewhere right below like a Rocket League level. I think if they do the seasonal format right and every team plays every week, they might even overtake Rocket League, depending what plans Nate Dancer has for that scene over there. But overall, I don't see them really making it past that, up to like a CSGO level, a League of Legends level, Overwatch, of course. So yeah, congratulations, Tox Gaming. Speaking of Overwatch, let's head on over there because we have the Stage 3 playoffs. John, how did those go?
Stage 3 playoffs were absolutely insane. And if you're new to the Overwatch League community, first off, what took you so long? second off, there are so many great storylines going into the stage final. Shanghai Dragons, a team that went 0-40 last year, had a lot of turnover. They had almost a complete management overhaul, a complete roster overhaul, pulled off probably one of the sickest trades that will go down in Overwatch League history in acquiring Gamsu from Boston, bringing him onto the roster, really changing the complete ecosystem of the Shanghai Dragons. Joey, we had a chance to watch them down in Atlanta. That's where they secured their eighth and final playoff spot for Stage 3. You know, it's been tough for them for three stages, and they managed to do it in the third stage of Season 2, making it to the playoffs as that eighth seed. Now, as the eighth seed, if you follow traditional sports, you know you got to play the big dogs. If you're going to make that run, you got to take on the best of the best. And Joey, they did that. The Shanghai Dragons not only defeated the Vancouver Titans, not only did they defeat the New York Excelsior, they go on. Let me pull up the numbers here for you. Let's see. Yes, they defeated the Excelsior first 3-1 in map play, and then they go on to beat the Vancouver Titans 4-1. And that was their map differential there. Two major dominating wins for the Shanghai Dragons. They punched their ticket to the finals to go up against the San Francisco Shock, a team that in Season 1 had a lot of rebuilding to do themselves. They have been an absolute powerhouse in Season 2 as well, up there with Vancouver and New York. And Joey, it goes the distance, but not only does it go the distance, Shanghai had a 3-0 map lead after three maps. They were absolutely dominating the San Francisco Shock and on every single map. I mean, we're talking Oasis 2-1 in favor of the Dragons. We're talking Numbani 3-2 in favor of the Dragons. We're talking Horizon Lunar Colony, English, hard, 4-3. Like, they are strong games going up against a very strong team. But, like I said, the Shock, strong team. They pull it back, going 2-0 on Havana, 2-1 on Ilios, 4-3 on Eichenwald. Joey, it went all the way to Game 7 to Dorada, one of the first classic maps of Overwatch. And all Shanghai had to do was push it just a little bit farther past that first checkpoint, and they did it. The Shanghai Dragons go from an 0-40 team in Season 1, a complete overhaul in management, complete roster overhaul, a major trade in Gamsu, and then just a major cultural change on that team. And the Shanghai Dragons have one incredible turnaround story, winning the Stage 3 finals in 7 games.
Absolutely huge. And a lot of credit to the big management moves here. They made some crazy roster overhauls. A lot of people questioned a lot of their moves. At the same point, they're not questioning after you have a terrible record like you did in Season 1, but they are wondering if the players they brought in were enough to really get things done. Here in Stage 3, they showed they definitely can. I mean, Gamsu, John. A lot of people didn't believe me when I said Gamsu was the reason we saw that undefeated stage for Boston. Boston didn't even believe me. They traded him away. And now we see how much potential he has at Shanghai as a group leader, as the shot caller really for this team. I don't know if he calls all the shots, but you can tell he is the leader of this team as far as stage present goes. There's so many talented players on the roster, but the way Gamsu really brings them all together as a main tank is huge. And he just showed so much potential throughout these playoffs. The New York Excelsior are one of the best teams in the regular split, regular season, whatever you want to call it. They've always been one of the best in the regular play, but when it comes to playoffs, they get shaky. Shanghai took them down. People are like, okay, we could see it. The New York Excelsior, they have their shaky moments in the playoffs. Not super surprised. At the same point, a little bit of surprise here. But then going on and taking down the Titans right after that, that's the big key for me. You get through both of really, no pun intended, the Titanic teams. I mean, these were the big teams of the league going into the stage playoff. They took down both of them. Then you have the Shock, big player over there in the Pacific region. Can they really keep up? They were able to. They brought it back after falling down far behind. I think that's more of a San Francisco Shock talent than it is Shanghai getting overconfident. But either way, Shanghai held it together in the end behind the leadership of Gamsu. They deserve the stage final. They looked hella good doing it. I'm really excited to see how they grow moving into stage four.
Yeah, it was just absolutely fantastic. And Joey, it was so cool following them on social media. They released a video of the coaches and team management in the back room watching the match. And as soon as they clinch the seventh and final map, you see like this group of like five or six people stand up and just let out this yell that you could tell like this meant something. This was bigger than just a stage win. This was literally a turnaround of an organization. They stand up, they yell, and they go sprinting through the studio. They go sprinting through the Blizzard Arena, finding their way backstage, which is really cool because I always wondered what backstage of Blizzard Arena looked like. Then up these side stairs onto the stage to celebrate with their players. It was such an emotional moment. Like the fans in the arena were crying. Everyone was happy and excited. There's just so much there. No one wants to see a team go 0-40. You know, they're pro players. They're people too. No one wants to, you know, lose 40 games, whether you're a pro or, you know, you're a weekend player or a weeknight player, or even if you're a bronze player. It's very disheartening. And it's exciting to see this organization, you know, granted a complete overhaul here, still managed to turn it around. It's so massive for the Shanghai fans. It's massive for that organization. And I couldn't be happier to have witnessed history in the Shanghai Dragons really turning it around and winning the Stage 3 championship.
Absolutely. Huge underdog story there. Shanghai looking really good going into Stage 4. I think they're going to be one of your top three teams heading over there. Yeah, some can argue, hey, it's the playoffs. Teams play differently in the playoffs. But overall, taking down the Excelsior, taking down the Shock, taking down the Titans, this is a team to contend, and they're only going to get better as that roster continues to mesh together. And we have a week off of Overwatch League. It doesn't pick back up until Thursday, July 25th. So with that, John, let's head over to the LEC for League of Legends.
All right, let's do a quick recap of the LEC. Let's find out where our teams are standing after last week. Joey, Fnatic still in first place, but they have a slight little blemish on their record. Now 7-1 after a very interesting defeat that Fnatic had. 7-1.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. Fnatic 7-1 now tied in first place with G2 Esports as well. 7-1. Third place belongs to Splice 6-2. Splice picking up that spicy win over Fnatic. Fourth place Origin at 4-4, fitting for a 4-4 team in fourth place, along with Schalke 04, fitting also 4-4. A lot of fours in fourth place today, Joey. SK Gaming, sixth place. That's actually a three-way tie because, hey, it's Europe. SK Gaming, 3-5. Rogue, 3-5. Team Vitality, Joey, you guessed it, 3-5. All in sixth place. Ninth place, Misfits Gaming. And because they are the anti-Fnatic, they have to match everything Fnatic does. Fnatic loses a game, Excel Esports wins a game. 1-7 in 10th place, literally mirroring whatever Fnatic does. It's 1-7. Outstanding in the LEC. Looking forward to this week, Joey, starting on Friday, July 19th. Are there any matchups in the LEC you want to highlight?
Ooh, that's a great question. Let's see. So one thing I do want to highlight is actually off the schedule. It sounds like based on a few people, I think Veteran EU was the one who dropped it first on Twitter. There are going to be major overhauls happening in the LEC most likely this week. A lot of people think it's probably Misfits and possibly the return of Forgiven to the scene as well. I think a lot of these matchups are very dependent on what those moves end up being. If it is Misfits, I think you can highlight on some of their matchups, particularly the one with Rogue. I think Splice is going to knock them out regardless. But I'm very curious to see what those roster shakeups look like, whether it's just Misfits involved, whether we see multi-team trading where players are going all over the place, because Misfits has a very talented pot lane. If they do pick up a different bot lane with Forgiven, then I think we do see Hansama possibly moving somewhere else as opposed to the Academy team. So I'm curious to see how those shakeups end up happening. With that being said, I think Origin SK could be a good matchup. Origin is like that number three team right now. SK looks like they could potentially move into a playoff spot, top four maybe even, but we really need to see them up against a better team. I think Origin will be a great matchup for them to really try to prove themselves. And on the second day, I'm going to buy into the rumors and say that it is Misfits making the moves, and I'm curious to see how Misfits Rogue does if Misfits does end up making these roster moves. Let's head on over to the LCS then. There are quite a few ties over here, sir. First place, we have Team Liquid at 9-3. Second place, Cloud9 at 8-4. One more win to hit that last number of their name. TSM tied for third at 7-5 with CounterLogic Gaming. Golden Guardians in a tie with Optic Gaming for fifth at 6-6. Clutch Gaming and 100 Thieves sitting at seventh at 5-7. Ninth, FlyQuest at 4-8. And last but not least, EchoFox. I believe they did pick up a win this week. They are now sitting at 3-9. And that's going to move us over to this week's schedule for the LCS. Kicking things off Saturday, July 20th, John, what are you feeling as the match of that day?
The match I'm really paying attention here to is a battle between the difference between third and fifth place right now, just because there are so many ties in that area. For third place, really, TSM versus Golden Guardians. I know some people in Twitch chat are going to be really excited to hear that. Golden Guardians really maintaining form, kind of a 500 team, but they are playing fairly well. TSM, they had a great lead over Cloud9, but in true TSM fashion, they ended up choking, and Cloud9, the comeback kings themselves, came back and beat TSM. Which TSM is going to show up? That's really been the story for TSM for the last year and a half, even maybe 2 years. What TSM is going to show up? Is it going to be the TSM that we all expect, the high-performing TSM, or is it going to be a TSM that comes out and has a really bad draft and really disappoints? There's a lot of questions around TSM. That's what makes this matchup even that more exciting. Golden Guardians, a really solid team, performing fairly well, going up against a wishy-washy TSM team. That's my game to watch on Saturday, July 20th.
I'd have to agree with that one. Heading over to Sunday, July 21st, which one are you highlighting?
Because I'm someone that loves history here, this also has a little impact in the standings too. Cloud9 CLG, a very classic matchup here. A battle of the old guard, if you will. Both teams, CLG making some major roster changes, still performing incredibly well. Cloud9 really exceeding a lot of people's expectations, playing at a very high level. Had that amazing comeback win over TSM last week as well. Did split the week going 1-1. But it's going to be a spicy matchup between CLG, a team that has really turned on as of late. It looked amazing on the Rift against Cloud9. That does have some question marks here and there when it comes to the early game again. So that's going to be my match to watch on day two.
Yeah, I'm going to the same one. I think TSM Golden Guardians on day one, CLG C9 day two. A lot of high matchup potential there in particular. I would say all four of the teams have really faced good opponents, and they've showed either really good games or really bad games against those opponents. I'm curious to see what another matchup between them ends up looking like. TSM, like you said, the historical sense that they have, as well as the up-and-coming Golden Guardians who really put their name up there in previous matchups, they've really fought with the best. So I'm curious to see how they square up against TSM this time. And CLG, C9, a lot of history, like you said, John. I think C9 has a lot to prove. They lost to EchoFox last week, but then they had a quality win as well. Where do they really stand? No one knows. And it's the same answer with CLG as well. They fought really well against good teams, and they fought bad against other teams. So where do they all stand? I think that question should, at least for now, be answered in this matchup at 4 p.m. on Sunday, July 21st, Eastern Time.
Well, Nation, that does it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they're a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast, the LVLUP Podcast. Additionally, find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor, hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online, and as always,
Level Up.